Let's talk about Riverside.fm, the leading podcast and video creation platform that's changing the game on how creators record content. Riverside FM allows you to record studio quality audio and up to 4K video on their platform. Now you can interview a guest 1,000 miles away and it'll sound like you're sitting in the same room. It's as easy to use as Zoom, but gives much higher quality audio and video recordings. Did we mention that they have a mobile app? This allows guests to connect directly from their phone and record content from anywhere. After your content is finished, you can easily grab clips to share them across your social media channels. So if you're looking for a hero platform for all your recording needs, from podcasts to webinars to other video content, you should be using Riverside FM. Sign up today so you can focus on your content and leave the quality to Riverside FM. Use promo code SHIPIT and receive a 30% discount on your first 3 months of your subscription. That's promo code SHIPIT to receive a 30% discount on the first 3 months of your subscription. Back to the show. Welcome to the first episode of the City That Never Sleeps podcast. I'm Josh and I'm joined by my co-host Alex. We are here today to discuss both playoff series, both games happening tonight. So we're very excited, obviously, from the title and from the trailer. You can tell this is a New York Knicks and Brooklyn Nets podcast or a New York basketball podcast. I'm a Knicks fan. Alex is a Nets fan. So we thought, what a perfect thing to do, but to start a podcast, especially during both of these teams' really good runs at this current time. And hopefully it continues in the future as this podcast continues to grow. Let's first start off with seeing how Alex is doing. I already know he's a bit tired. So, you know, if this is your first time listening, obviously it probably is because it's our first episode. Just don't take Alex seriously, okay? Because he's just not in the right mood right now. Alex, how are you?
You know, I resent that comment. I kind of come alive when the record button starts. So I'm here. I'm ready to go. And I won't fall asleep during this episode because I am very excited to start this podcast. You know, we've been talking about it for a while. Josh and I run two other podcasts, which I'm sure you've heard in the intro episode. If you heard that, I'm sure we'll mention it again in this episode. But yeah, I'm just excited to talk some basketball. We really haven't had a chance to do it on our other podcast, The Giant Take. We kind of did a little bit over the summer last year when the NBA bubble was kind of hitting off. Obviously, the Knicks weren't really involved in the bubble or weren't in at all. And the Nets kind of, you know, were kicked out quite early and didn't have a lot of their key pieces. So kind of wasn't much to talk about there. But yeah, this season, both the Knicks and the Nets, they're making strong playoff runs, at least as of right now, and how it's starting. And it's just exciting to talk about. And hopefully both teams go far for the sake of the podcast. But I'm pretty confident they both will.
Yeah, don't have Alex's audio throw you off. We should have mentioned this in the beginning. He's just in, you know, a different area than he normally records at. So basically, once he gets home, we do have the mic set up. I'm using mine right now, which is probably sounds a little bit better. Alex sounds like when he first played it, I was like, he sounds like he's calling into a radio show or something. With the headphones that he's using. So don't have that throw you off. We'll all be set up most likely for our next episode of the podcast, with the mics, whatever it is. So let's start out. Do you want to start off the Knicks or with the Nets, or what do you want to do here, Alex? This is something a little bit new.
I mean, let's start with the Knicks, right? I think that's kind of the more interesting series. So let's start off with them.
So the New York Knicks, like you just mentioned, we'll start off with them. Series tied at 1-1 now. We're going into game three of the first round of the playoffs, first round for the Knicks in about 8 years since 2012, or 9 years at this point. And they go in a 1-1 series against Atlanta at Phillips Arena this evening at 7 p.m. for the game. And I'm not going to lie how excited I was. Not as excited as all the Knicks fans on the streets after the first game. A lot of people were making memes already about them, saying how they're already sounds like they're in the finals, whatever it is. Listen, it's been a rough, past 5-10 years for this team. So I think we're allowed to celebrate a playoff win, whether it's a 1-1 series tied or a sweep or, whatever it is. I think we're allowed to celebrate. Knicks get a 101-92 win on Wednesday.
tied the series at 1-1. We had a lot of things happen in this game. We had Trae Young getting spit on by a Knicks fan who was actually banned, I think, from the Garden and from Knicks games in the future after that. And listen, I love Trae Young as a player, I would say. Like, he's a really, really good player. He's someone I think you should respect in the game. I think there's nothing wrong about him. So, I mean, for Knicks fans to go out there and do the F Trae Young chants, listen, I get it. Obviously, he's, you know, come into the series. He nailed that clutch shot to basically, you know, end the game, the first game of the series against the New York Knicks in that game one. And I completely understand why we're doing that, but we were doing that even before he nailed that shot, right? And I think they even increase now the F Trae Young chance in game two, obviously, after he iced the game in game one. But just speaking of the Knicks' performance this past game, Julius Randle still trying to find his footing, and that scares me a little bit. Obviously, Randle coming into this series has been very, very good this season, won the most improved player of the year, and this is something that we need to see improve with Julius Randle. He averaged about 24 points a game throughout this whole season. I think it's been 15 both games coming from Randle. So listen, he's got to clean it up, right? I shouldn't use that term because the Knicks are, you know, they're meant to be a team that they're all together in this. But he helped us get to this point, played 36 minutes in this game on Wednesday, only at 15 points. So that's something to note on. And Derrick Rose, man, I love the player of Derrick Rose. I love the trade. Alex, you texted me the other day saying, you know what, I've realized that this trade actually really worked out for you guys. And I very much agree. Derrick Rose obviously was up for the sixth man of the year, did not go to him, but listen, coming off the bench, this guy is unbelievable. I'll get into Elfrid Payton's situation a little bit, but maybe have Derrick Rose start at this point. We put on Elfrid Payton two times now for the first 5 minutes of the game and then just throw him on the bench. I don't know what Tibbs is doing. I get what Tibbs is doing, actually, because he loves that, you know, starting five system, what he does with Payton, but I'll get into it in a little bit. And yeah, I think Derrick Rose really, really helped us with this game. Obviously, his points total really shows with the 26 points. And then once again, on the other side with the Hawks and Trae Young, another 30-point game. You know, this guy really is a really, really, really good player. He's got a really good, he's a really good teammate with his players. You can obviously, he fits well with Clint Capella and Bogdanovich, and he gets those assists sometimes in the alley-oops and all of that stuff, so I can really see that, but I've been talking for a little bit, so I'll let Alex go, you know, talk about this series a little bit.
Yeah, so I'll talk a bit about the Knicks series because I have been keeping an eye on it. You know, in that second game, yes, Julius Randle has not been, you know, great so far, at least not as, you know, to the expectations that we had going into the playoffs based on his regular season performance. But he definitely, especially in this game two against the Hawks where the Knicks were able to tie the series, he hit a couple clutch threes for you guys. So I don't think it's a matter of, you know, him just not being playoff material. I think he's just kind of still dipping his feet into the whole playoff situation. And he's still hitting some of the big shots that he did hit in the regular season. I think he just needs to raise that consistency a bit. But besides that, you know, like you mentioned, Derrick Rose has been fantastic for you guys in the playoffs. Reggie Bullock in the game two especially was very good, especially on defensively against Trae Young, right? You have many nice pieces, right? I mean, you don't really have that one superstar besides Randle. I guess Randle could say is the lead guy. I know you were trying to say before that he kind of carries. I wouldn't say exactly he carries because a lot of the time, what the team around him does really helps him as well. But Tibbs has definitely done a good job in New York. So very, very good for Knicks fans. And I'm sure they're excited for game three against the Hawks in Atlanta, right? So that's going to be interesting. We'll see if Atlanta's fans can match the energy that the Knicks fans put up. I doubt it, but I don't know what kind of interesting chant they will have in return. I'm guessing it'll be something about Julius Randle. Considering, you know, that's the Knicks' best player, and the Knicks fans kind of went after Trae Young, so definitely we'll be excited to see that. But talking about Trae Young, I mean, he's just fantastic. Him and Luka so far in the playoffs have just been tearing it apart. That 2018 draft class, it looks like it could be one of the best. You know, there's so many great players that came out of that class, you know, that are doing very well in the playoffs. Michael Porter Jr., I mean, obviously Luka, Trey. There's just a lot of great players there. And Ayton, too, for the Suns, right? He's been doing well. Obviously, the Lakers, you know, are kind of coming back in that series. But, yeah, a lot of good players from that class. But enough with the Knicks, right? I can't talk about the Knicks forever. Moving to the Nets, obviously, the Nets are up 2-0 in the series against the Celtics. First game, 104-93, Nets win. Kevin Durant putting up 32 points. Kyrie putting up 29 points. And then in game two, it was pretty much the Celtics got smoked. It was 130-108. Most of the time, it was a bigger deficit than that. The Nets put out their bench pretty much right in the fourth quarter there. And Kevin Durant, Joe Harris were the top contributors there. Joe Harris was just knocking down threes that game. And, you know, it was truly impressive from him. And, you know, it's just good. They're on good momentum, the Nets. The one big problem is Jeff Green. He's going to be out with an injury. While, you know, if you look at the stat sheet, it's not like he puts up the craziest numbers, but I think the effect he has in the locker room, obviously he'll still have that effect, but I think the calmness, the experience that he has will definitely be something that will be missed. And hopefully he'll be back, you know, assuming that the Nets are able to prevail in this series for the next series, whether that be against the Bucks or the Heat, even though it does look like it will be the Bucks, because they are absolutely destroying the Heat at the moment, and they may get swept, the Heat. So who knows what's going on there. Besides that, I mean, there's not really much to talk about. James Harden coming back, I think that's really been important for the Nets, and I think he's just a really crucial player. I would say he's the most important player on the Nets in terms of what he brings. Maybe not, you know, he's not putting up those numbers that he used to in Houston. He's not putting up those 30, 40, 50 bombs like he used to, but he's definitely having some solid games, and he's definitely putting in a shift defensively as well, so that's nice to see. And the Nets are definitely looking like they're serious for this playoff, so that's good to see as well. And you can see defensively, especially the intensity on defense, something that was very much missing during the regular season. But I don't know if Josh wants to talk about the Nets or not, but I'll let you go into it a little bit if you want to.
Yeah, just like you said about a few minutes ago, you can't talk about the Knicks. Well, I can't talk about the Nets. So what I was going to say and come back to was there's nothing better than a packed garden. Madison Square Garden, like you mentioned, Alex, going into Atlanta, they can see if they can match it. They can't. You know, obviously the garden is made for that environment, but I haven't heard it that loud in years, I would say. And obviously, yeah, it's the Rangers home, right? There's hockey. There's playoff hockey there. But that the Garden's, and you when you think of the Garden, you think of the Knicks. You don't think of the Rangers. And I just like to say that Garden was so loud after Game 2 and in Game 1. And a lot of the Knicks fans, they don't sit the entire game. They stand from beginning to end. And the attitude of the Knicks fans, I know they're a little crazy. I get that looking from an outsider, but it's well-deserved. And, you know, the Knicks have really needed this for a long time now. And I was going to go to the point of Elfrid Payton and what his deal is. So the whole discussion is, Alex, I don't know if you know this, but since the beginning of the season, basically, or for most of the season, Tom Thibodeau has decided to start Elfrid Payton always. You know, he's been in the starting five for most of the season. And, you know, sometimes he's been good. Of recently, the past month or two, he's been pretty bad. And the thing that Tom Thibodeau has been doing throughout this playoffs, you know, the big thing is they – and he did this throughout the, you know, second half and towards the end of the season as well. He's put Payton in the starting five, still started him, plays the first 5 minutes of the game, puts him on the bench, puts in Derrick Rose, basically, or, you know, Emmanuel Quickly, but it's usually Derrick Rose, at like the 7-8 minute mark in the first quarter. Payton doesn't play again the entire game. And this happened in game one, and this happens in game two. And the discussion is, obviously, at this point, he doesn't even play again, where it's like, yeah, okay, you're resting Rose, you're resting Quickly for the first 5 minutes of the game, but then they play for the rest of the game, Quickly and Rose. So it's like you're not even saving them that much energy in minutes. And now the discussion is, do you start Derrick Rose or do you start Emmanuel Quickly in that starting five? And I think it's just something to think about. Obviously, it's not directly impacting the Knicks completely, but it is. When you talk about the beginning scoring of the team, obviously, that game one, you can't really talk about that first, because I think there was a little bit of playoff jitters as the Knicks started very bad shooting the game. Second game, though, you might want to talk about just in general. In this, you know, you're obviously going to want to start the game off really well in those first 5 minutes. Those could be pivotal because the, you know, the Hawks could go on a, you know, 14-2 run to start the game, and it's 16-4 right now in the 7 minute mark in the first quarter. So, you know, maybe you put on a better offensive talent because it doesn't seem like Payton can nail those shots. And it's like, at that point, why are we even playing him 5 minutes a game? But going on to the Nets, Alex, it's just, this is a must win, right? Obviously, if you don't win, it's a unsuccessful season. That's kind of how it works. It's like, you have to win with these players. That's what they were built to do with Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and James Harden. And, you know, it seems like it's working so far with the 2-0 series win or series right now. And it just looks easy for the Nets, right? That second game just looked easy. There was communication, connection on the floor, and just, you know, obviously both Joe Harris, Kevin Durant putting up 20 spots, James Harden as well. But Kevin Durant, he's such a good player. It's unbelievable to see. Obviously, we knew it from when he was with the Thunder, with the Warriors at times. But it's just to see him light up again after, obviously, an injured season. I know he's been doing it all season. I've been seeing him doing it all season. But now since we have the podcast, I can address it here. He is such a good player. And it's unbelievable how well he plays in this Nets system. Obviously, it really helps him out having two other key players with him. But yeah, I just like to point that out of how, you know, really good Kevin Durant is. And I know he does troll the Knicks, you know, quite a bit. And it is what it is. That's fine. I don't really, you know, it is what it is. But 26 points in 29 minutes, that's pretty unbelievable. I just like to mention that. But yeah, for the Nets, they're obviously now in Boston, right? So they'll be playing tonight. I'm at TD Garden. Up 2-0. So, I mean, that's really what you want. You win both games at home, and now Boston has to rebound, and obviously they'll have their home crowd so they can, you know, try and see what they can do.
Yeah, and, you know, Kevin Durant doesn't just troll Knicks fans either, to be honest. He kind of trolls everyone, so I wouldn't get too offended by that. But, yeah, specifically the Knicks, I think he does go after quite a bit. But, yeah, for Boston to come back in the series, I heard, you know, there were some jokes about it that they needed to get Kevin Durant. They needed to Twitter troll James Harden. They needed to attract him to the club. And Kyrie, they just needed to ask him about if the bottom of the earth is also flat. And maybe Boston could come back. But yeah, Boston's not in a good place. You know, I don't see the way that they get out of this 2-0 hole. They could pull a game back, I think. I don't think they're going to get swept. I think they could pull one back tonight. I think that's definitely a possibility. You know, obviously there was the 3-day break between games 2 and 3. So maybe they were able to reset nicely, but it's definitely looking difficult for the Celtics. And obviously without Jaylen Brown as well, who's arguably their best player, you know, maybe behind Tatum, it's going to be hard for them. And, you know, it's just difficult to play against the Nets. There's too many good players. Blake Griffin's there as well. He's playing some decent basketball as well. And, you know, the Nets are a scary team at the moment. But, you know, there's definitely teams that can stop them in the East. I mean, the Bucks are really on a roll right now. You know, the 76ers look okay at the moment. Knicks, Hawks, I mean, both of those teams could be a big surprise later in the postseason if either one of them progress. But Hawks and Knicks, they're a fun little group of teams, right? They're two teams that you kind of want to root for. You know, if you're not really a fan of any team and you just kind of want to pick the underdog, I think the Knicks or the Hawks are actually a really fun team. The Hawks, obviously a very young team. The Knicks, kind of a very slept on team throughout the whole season. Obviously not as much anymore, but they're definitely both. That's a fun series. I think that's going to be the best series. And I think it'll probably go to game 7. That's kind of my feeling on that series. I think you guys will kind of trade wins back and forth, and eventually it'll come down to the final game. But yeah, it's a very exciting series.
All right. And I think we kind of covered everything. So one thing we are going to do, though, on the podcast, and we'll do this every week, and I'm excited to start it right now. We'll do the trivia section, the trivia question for each week. I think I'm breaking this actually to Alex right now.
Yep.
Yeah. So the trivia section. So I'm going to ask Alex one Nets question. And he'll ask me one Knicks question, and obviously we'll have to guess it, and it'll show how much knowledge we have or lack of knowledge, which then we can bring up to each other later in the episodes and talk about how much we don't know about each other's teams or how much we do know. We'll have to see. So my question for Alex is, and this is the, so I don't want to give it away. This is the original team, Alex, not the Brooklyn Nets, right? The New Jersey Nets. So when was the franchise of the New Jersey Nets, or at the time, the New Jersey Americans, founded? What year were they founded, Alex? And you can ask
me. So I'm going to talk about this. So I know it's in the 60s at some period, because I for some reason know that very well. I know it's in the 60s. I want to say it's the late 60s. So you're looking at 66, 67, 68, maybe 69. I'm going to go, let's see, what's in the middle? I'm going to go 1968, because I think it's very close to that time period.
Alex, I think you looked it up.
Is it 1968? There's no way.
No, it's 67.
Oh.
It's 67. It is 1967, oh, okay, so 1 year off, but I still think you looked it up. But I actually
know, because I remember looking it up originally. Because I was talking to my dad about it, and he was like, oh yeah, the New Jersey, yeah, they've been around for a while, but not as long as other basketball. It was a whole big conversation, but anyway, yeah, so that's how I knew it was the 60s. I just didn't know exactly when. I was pretty sure it was the late 60s, but yeah.
All right. So I'll stall a little bit while you get your next question. Cause I did just, I think, break it to you live here on the podcast, which, you know, bad part on my spot. I should have told you a little bit pre-podcast. But yeah, I mean, like you were saying, both teams are going to go into a series, obviously a little bit different, where the Nets are already up 2-0, and they go into, you know, Boston and talk about Boston needs some momentum here. Obviously, this will help them out if they get the win. And I think it's just two different series. Obviously, the Nets look like the main really, really big team. Against Boston, it seems like they're going to prevail. Well, the Knicks and Atlanta series tied at 1-1 going to Atlanta just seems like it's all up in the air. Both games have been extremely close down to the end and throughout most of the game, or at least the Knicks, you know, have made comebacks. So there's that, and that shows how competitive the team is. But yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting. Obviously, we'll have an episode a week to break this down. But Alex, do you have your next question?
Yes, I do. So when is the last time that the Knicks made an NBA finals, or at this point championship appearance?
Oh, geez.
Appearance, not win. Appearance.
Well, yeah, that was in the 70s. I think it was 72. But when they won it, I think. I really hope that's wrong. I'm going to look that up after. So when was the last time they made the finals, Alex?
Yeah, when they made the finals.
I'm going to go... I think Patrick Ewing and this stuff. I'm going to go 2000.
Okay, that's very, very close. It is 1999. So we were both one away.
That was 99. Okay, because I know they made the runs, obviously. I think when that was against the Bulls, I'm guessing, in Jordan. Oh, no,
that would have been too late, yeah. So
no, that wouldn't even be in the finals, because they're both in the same Eastern Conference. Yeah. But I know, obviously, the Knicks team went up against Michael Jordan and the Bulls, you know, during that later time period, and just did not work out. But you know what? I'm going to look up the New York Knicks last championship. Yeah, 73. Okay, so I was 1 year off there, too, if you asked that question, Alex. I said 72, I think. But at least we were pretty close. And you know what? Alex, I think that's a good way to start off this first episode. It shows how we... you know, we quite know our Knicks and Nets knowledge a little bit. I thought we were both about to be way off, but you know what? You have to wait another episode to hear how bad we know our teams. But, I mean, you have anything to say before we wrap this one up?
No, not really. You know, I was caught off guard by that Knicks-Nets thing. I'm glad it was something I knew, because, you know, trust me, the next trivia question, it won't look as good. Trust me.
We'll see. We'll have to wait and see. But, yeah, so look forward to the next Knicks and Nets trivia questions throughout the next week. Sorry, I'm just looking at my phone, because the New York Knicks actually, as we're talking, have announced potentially second round playoff tickets will be sold only to fully vaccinated individuals. That's interesting. But yeah, I saw NYK on my screen and I just wanted to make sure there wasn't anything we missed because we would break it on the podcast. That's not really huge breaking news. Let's see if we make it to the second round first before we talk about Knicks tickets in the second round. But anyway, thank you so much for listening to the first episode of the City That Never Sleeps podcast. I'm Josh and I was joined by my co-host Alex. A few things that you guys could do to help support us, and that's following us on Twitter at JoshSolo29 for myself, at Anorian23. For Alex, and then wherever you're listening, subscribe to this podcast, drop a 5-star rating and review, and it would really help us out. We want to get on those charts for the basketball podcast, and being able to rate, review it, subscribe, and listen, obviously, would really help us out. Download the podcast wherever you can. Basically, I think once you listen, you download it, and we will see you for episode number 2 of the podcast sometime next week.
Welcome to the All 80s Movies Podcast.
I'm Bill.
And I'm Jason. And this is the podcast where we talk about the blockbusters, the flops, and everything in between from one of the freshest decades for movies, the 1980s. So whether you're a brain, a jock, a valley girl, or a Jedi, we've got some 80s classics for you.
Do these movies stand the test of time? Are we discovering something new? Is there an 80s movie we're finally watching for the first time?
Join us each week as we dive into the cinematic nostalgia that inspired and influenced a generation. From the hits to the cult classics, we'll discuss our earliest memories, favorite scenes, fun facts, and our not-so-favorite movie moments, too.
It's the All 80s Movies Podcast, now available on all major streaming platforms. Please subscribe and happy listening.